we spoke, last time we spoke, we were discussing the idea that the proof of the fact that the Torah was given by God, meaning the idea that since we have a witness, we have testimony that 600,000 people. See what you do? That 600,000 people. 600,000 people. Stood at Har Sinai.
Very well trained.
Unbelievable. Since 600,000 people stood at Har Sinai, and we have this Masorah. This is one of the proofs that the Torah must be true, and we have this connection from parent to child, parent to child, parent to child. This testimony. Therefore, it is by definition a truism that God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. And since we discussed this, this is like something that they teach you in, you know, rabbinical school or Discovery. Right? Aleph Bet. And then I was wondering to myself, after we spoke last week, Ari, if you remember, you said, yeah, just speak to a couple of guys at my work and see if they buy it. Meaning, so I'm struggling with this. If it's so obvious and such a good proof, we're left with one very simple question. Yeah, why don't everybody believe it? Like, you know, why enough?
What?
I see. Well, meaning, if it's such a... What? No. Oh, take it away. Put it over there. You have to suck it. Why are all these people non-believers then, if it's such a good proof? So you have two possible answers. The first possible answer that I could think of is, it's not such a good proof. Although, when I think about it, I think it's pretty strong. It's pretty hard to argue against it. Notwithstanding, who sent out an email? Somebody sent out an email last week. Josh sent out a really interesting email about a group of Africans, you know, that think they saw God, you know, with some mountain or this, right. Okay, very good. But we're not talking about a revelation as it's described in the Torah. And this way it's described in the Torah, it's extremely explicit. Nothing is left to doubt. Literally, nothing is left to doubt in the Torah. So either you know what I'm saying? This is a core foundation of Jewish belief. So it's very hard to say that it's not a good proof. I've yet to hear somebody rebut it, other than to say, well, they made it up. But it's very hard. I mean, I've never heard of somebody really rebut it well. The other possibility, so why then, if it's such a good proof, why don't people believe it? The answer is because they're not interested in confronting the proof. Which just means it's a great proof, but you can only prove something to somebody who's interested in thinking about it and listening to it.
So that's
one at a time. Yeah, Aaron's been sitting here like a champion.
I mean, obviously the different Rahim is that one is that, okay, that was true, you know, the Christian theology is Kuzari basics. You know, it's true, but things changed. You know, like God gave the Torah at Mount Sinai and then he changed his mind and did other different things and whatever. And now it's always like, you know, he at that time meant it, but now he doesn't mean it anymore.
Well,
which, you know, again, as a Jew is less relevant.
Right.
Or the sad truth is that, unfortunately, many people are very non-connected to their Shavshalet.
Okay.
In other words, the fact that it was passed through generations, like, I don't feel like my father or my grandfather had the whatever it was. So I feel like less connected vis-a-vis this proof because
I don't
feel like I've gotten the sorrow.
It's not an emotional proof. It's supposed to be a logical, ideological proof. Meaning, like, how do I know the Torah is true? Because we have this testimony that 2 million people were at the mountain, and it's impossible that 2 million people saw the same thing. Somebody made it up and didn't have it. No one said it. That's the basic
thing.
So why doesn't everybody buy it?
Psychologically, people are not. Many of us, for whatever reason, I mean, not all of us, but many of us, don't feel like we received like the rock from our parents.
No, you don't have to receive the rock. I'm asking about the proof. Well, you're saying
psychologically, that makes me easy. I can ignore it because I can ignore it because I don't feel like I'm part of this great, you know, like if I can trace my roots back to the Vilna Gaon and to Rashi and whatever, then maybe I get a little bit queasy about something that they might have experienced. But if I feel like, you know, hey, I just kind of like sort of found this on my own, or my dad found this on his own, and who knows what happened, you know, 10 generations ago, then I'm easier psychologically to ignore the proof.
Okay, so that's what we're saying. But you're saying ultimately that you agree that it probably what's happening is that people, it's not that the proof isn't good, it's that people aren't interested in thinking about it. They'd rather ignore it.
Does
it move them?
I think subconsciously a lot of people, it's more convenient to distance yourself from it not to confront it and to say, well, of course it didn't, you know, happen, that really happened. Because if you accept that it happened, then you have to start thinking, well, what should I do?
Like really dealing with the ramifications of that.
How many people come to shul on Yom Kippur or keep Yom Kippur?
Right.
I mean, it's so absurd because the majority of those don't keep any, you know, so many of those don't keep anything or don't claim they don't believe anything, but all of a sudden, one day a year, they kind of believe.
Mm-hmm. Ari, you want to say something before
really
you move
need,
on?
Because they need the forgiveness, because it's convenient.
They're covering
the
bases.
So it's, what?
They're covering all the bases.
Covering all the bases. I once had a coworker like that. He said, He didn't want to be so sure of himself. Like, he didn't want to be so good, so bad as to really be damned to hell if he ever, you know, if, you know, he didn't want to be that bad. But he didn't want to be so good that if it wasn't true, he would have wasted his whole life.
It's like one day. It's like they say in Yeshiva.
It's pretty so, funny.
Are you ready to cross the bridge or not?
Yeah, I mean,
jump the pool.
So that's the world in which we live. It's not a, I mean, I think that that's an important thing for us to be aware of, that the main challenge of faith today is not anti-faith. It's not proving against Judaism, but it's apathy from it. It's the desire to be, and I'm the big fan of Screwtape Letters. You got to read the Screwtape Letters. I say it to everybody I ever meet. And the first letter is exactly about this. The Yetzirah is telling the guy, stop, we don't argue anymore. We never argue faith anymore. It's not worth it anymore. All we do is we distract. And we live in the world of, like, we all have ridiculous ADD. I don't know if anybody... He works in an office. You're working. How many things are you working on at any given time? You know, and how much more would you do if you were able to concentrate and focus the way we're supposed to be focusing? You know, and you wonder why kids learn almost nothing in school. It's because they all have ADD. So we all have ADD. Not only we have ADD in faith also. As soon as we really start to think into the front, distract. Okay. So that was the thought I wanted to bring back, because I was really, like, at the end of last week, I was left with this, like, it's a conundrum. If it's so great, why don't people believe it? We're now on Memchet. Many of us, so now he's going to continue and discuss. We're in the middle of discussing the idea that the Torah is what's called a Marasha, a Yerusha. Why does the Torah have to be a Yerusha? If it's such a good proof, then why does God have to inherit it to us? Why does it have to be an inheritance? It should be a, you know, Muvan Me'elav. It should be something we all understand.
Otherwise, it's only just for that generation.
Right. Well, but if it's a great proof that God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, if it's obvious, well, I think... Right, then it was handed down. We'll get to exactly what he means by a Yerusha. We started the discussion last week with the discussion of anti-Semitism. So here, Rav Teichtel, he's quoting the Rambam in the Igeret HaTiman about, it's really a long quote about the Rambam. Umeni az, from that time, shekuvanu Hashem la'avodato b'ma'amad hanivchar hazeh, that God brought us close to him at this ma'amad, at this on the mount, at this event at Har Sinai. V'yichid otanu la'am, and he designated us as a nation. V'higbia ma'alatenu al kol ha'amim sh'al p'nei ha'adama. And he elevated us over all the nations of the world. Kin'unu ha'akum kulam al datenu kin'a gdola. All the nations of the world were jealous of us, a tremendous jealousy. Kima amar chazal, like the chazal say, lama nikret shma har Sinai. Why is it called Mount Sinai? Shemisham yadar sin'a l'umot ha'olam. Because when we, on Har Sinai, that's when Sinai began. It's a midrashic play on words. Sinai, Sinai. What's Sinai?
Hatred.
They all hate us now. Okay. This is a great place to stop. We're not going to have a discussion about it. It's a great place to stop and discuss the idea of Jewish elitism. And if you'd ask Rav Teichtel, what would he say? Are Jews better than everybody else? Seems pretty clear that he would say, "Yerusha." What would Rav Teichtel say? Are Jews better than everyone else?
No.
You would say no. He said yeah.
Seems like he's like Kuzari all the way.
He seems pretty much yeah. Listen to the language.
God,
he gbiya ma'alatenu al kol amim sha'al p'nei adama. God elevated us over all the other nations, and they're jealous. You know, he didn't say they're wrong. He didn't say they don't really understand. You know, nowadays we deal with this where we live in a time of. Everyone is equal, all men are created equal, and trying to figure out what is the meaning of being Jewish in a context where no one's better than anybody else. So we say we're designated, we're the Kohanim to the world, and it doesn't seem Rav Teichtel had such problems. He said, God made us better, and they're jealous. And that's why they hate us.
What does better mean?
Yeah.
Better.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you say Shalos Anigoy.
Ma'alatein, right. I mean,
you say that, Shalos Anigoy.
No, it's a mitzvah. It's the, right, it's like, you know, we try, we turn cartwheels to try to PC those things away. You should just know.
Baruch Hashem, that we have the
that's
Torah,
the,
that we have
the years of persecution.
What do you mean? The persecution is meant to sharpen our sense of elitism.
Yeah.
Right? The reason, no, Jews never tried to explain away Shalom Asanigoy until this generation. Yeah. You never grew up, I mean, when I grew up, it means camp. Shalom Asanigoy, Shalom Asanigoy. You didn't have that? You didn't care? No, I. You went to a different camp than I did.
Really?
I
guess.
Maybe not explain away.
What? You heard that too?
YWCA camp.
A YWCA? No.
Most of Christian Association camp.
Then you think Shalos Anigoy? Baruch Hashem, Shalos
Anigoy. In Daphne, it's multiple places in Daphne where we stop saying things for fear of repercussions.
Well, 1 second. We stop. Doesn't mean we don't think it's true.
No. We don't think it's not that we don't think it's true now, but we just know that the better thing to do is to be PC.
To be PC, okay. Well, and then put it on the internet and tell everybody.
I agree with Ari, it's hard. I think, you know, what does better mean. But.
When we stopped those things in Elena or whatever it is, it's because we didn't want to get shot.
Right. It doesn't mean we don't think it's true.
But like if people now, like in Israel, like they say it, like with like
gospel. We say it. You know, but what do you think Elena is? You know? Shlo asanu kagaya haratzot, v'lozim mishpachot amah, shehem mishtachavim le'avarim, like, thank God that...
Two,
right, okay. okay, so they hate us. V'yechaltu malchehem v'adonihem b'shvila v'orer aleinu sitla v'eva. And then they tell their people, they tell their king, they tell their leaders, right, to awaken hatred against us. One need only open the internet to the local newspaper to realize, to wonder what's happening today and how that will affect the Jewish people. And one surmises that it isn't going to be for the betterment of democracy and freedom of mankind. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
so much.
Right? Democracy in some of these places ain't going to be good. It's going to come out bad for us. Ve'en chazman, and there's no time. Me'az shenitna lanu Torah azmanenu zeh, there is no time. Shekol Melech Akum, he's quoting the Rambam, by the way, that every non-Jewish king, Gover, O Machuyach, O Mitgaber, O Anas, right, who is trying to overwhelm us, or force us, or cause us, or you know, Anos is even worse, is to coerce us by force. She'en Tchilat Kavanato V'dato Distor Torateinu. His whole intention is to undermine, to contradict our Torah, V'lafoch Dateinu Be'ones V'nitzachon B'cherev, and to make us convert by force. Kamo Amalek, like Amalek, Vesisra, Vesancheri, Nebuchadnezzar, Vahaman, Vetitus, Adrianus, Vahabek, Yeltsavim. Right? The list goes on and on of all these people that tried to convert us. It's interesting. So the Rambam, who doesn't he list? He should in the most.
Yevanim.
Oh, after Yevanim. He can't list it because it didn't happen yet, the Catholic Church. You know what I'm saying? And so you have a whole many hundreds of years history of people trying to convert the Jews. Okay? What's that? Rambam was before the Catholic.
Rambam.
Yeah, he's Rav Teichdal is now. He's quoting. He's really almost exactly quoting the Rambam in the Geirat Tema. Okay, so he says v'zeh hanoah ha'echad. That's hanoah. But that's one of the two possible directions, possibilities. Mishnei hanoim from the two different methods. Shitkavnu bo lenatzeach hachepet aloki, that they tried to overwhelm us, the godliness. Aval hanoah sheni. There's a second way that they tried to get us. Those are the sharp ones. Those people, meaning, a little bit sharper. Right? It's very crude to try to get us by force. And, you know, it works to a point. We know that it worked to a point. People who are not of strong belief, they're whatever reason, they were willing to at least fake it. The wise people. Right here we have the Yevanim, really. They try to overwhelm us, to undermine our Torah, b'ta'anot she'to'anim aleha, with ta'anot, claims, u'b'kushiyot she'mechabim lakshot aleha, by asking questions. U'magamatam b'chozeh la'afer ha'Torah, v'limchot ikvoteha v'chiburehem, right, they want to undermine the Torah, and to blot it out, k'mo she'itmukavnu, elu ha'anasim b'lchamotehem. Some people try to undermine the Torah by force, and so other people try to undermine the Torah with their pen. Which is more effective?
Typically, assimilation is more effective.
Well, assimilation is... I wonder whether assimilation is either one of those two.
Why? My name is not assimilation. Be like me. Greeks are fun. Run on bacon. Like, that's the way that...
But they weren't... I think they weren't into that. I think that we know... It wasn't about the fun. It was about the worship of the body. It was about the logic. It was about the gods, about the different gods. I don't think it was... Today, Hellenization is about the worship of the self.
No, but what's
I think
like,
back then, it was at least... There was at least something there. There was at least...
Sexual morality and, like, Olympic games and who's the strongest.
Right, the elevation... Correct. That's all part of the philosophy.
But it was
of
like,
this of self-realization, of self-perfection.
Like, get drunk and have fun, no?
I think it was more about self-realization. I really do think... I think the Yavanim at least had something to them. Nowadays, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not entirely sure what our culture is all about. It's about really worship of me.
Self-gratification
as opposed to self-perfection. The Olympics was about how great can you be? Like, how smart can you be? How much logic can you do? You know, there was that at least. And along with it came all the hedonism. Nimsa, she'ers lanu shnei minei rodfim. We have two kinds of pursuers. Eil b'rechev u'b'cheri b'chanit, right, the military. Ve'eil b'siftei zara u'b'chal kalot l'shonam. Those with a smooth tongue. Neither one is going to win. Shakarash Baruch Hu bisenu tanu ade Yishaya, and that's what God said. He sent a message to us to Yishayahu. Shekol anas onatzchan shikaven listor to retain ulubatil dothinu bekalei zayin. Anyone who tries to force us through coercing force, yishbor abarikli mechamto v'lo yasichu, they will not succeed. V'ze al derech mashal. That's why mashal kulamar she'atzato lo teshalin leolam. Ukemokain. Similarly, kol to en shikaven lebatil mashav yadenu. Anyone who tries to claim to negate that which is in our hands. God will find him guilty, he will negate him, and he will not win. If you recall, we began this whole discussion with the Pasuk in Yishayahu. The Pasuk in Yishayahu was, Kol kli yitzar alayich lo yitzlach. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you, in judgment, you shall condemn. So remember, we discussed, we're here last week, discussed, what is a dual language? So he says, that's a dual language. The two major forms of anti-Semitism. The first one, that's what it means. Kokli yutzar alayich lo yitzlach. That's the anti-Semitism of the force. V'chol lashon takumi tach l'mishpat tarshi. That's the anti-Semitism of the sweet-tongued persecutors, pursuers. So saith the Lord. Kolomar, meaning. This is the Rambam I'm talking again. He's quoting again. Both of these types of pursuers. What? Oh, sorry. Lo yu'ilu laharos adachi tibu b'ma'ave ne'eman. They will not undermine the dat, the religion that was founded b'ma'ave ne'eman, thick and reliably. V'habi'inyan ya'amod al cheskato, and the building will stand on its foundation. Truth will scoff and laugh at them. Kolomar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shehu emet, yoshev matel v'sochekim, and God is joking at them. Hashem mitkavnim mechalishut shekulam mekavana she'en latachli, because they're wasting their time. I mean, ultimately, the Rambam said he's trying to give the people of Yemen strength. So on the one hand, he says they're coming at you by trying to force you to be apostates. But on the other hand, they're probably trying to sweet talk you and say, well, you really have to convert to our religion. Islam is the true religion. We have all these questions about your religion. It doesn't make any sense. So the Rambam is very interesting. He's giving them tremendous, tremendous chizuk to the people of Teman and saying to them, first of all, understand, this is nothing new. This is the nature of the way things are. Moreover, says the Rambam, understand the fact that they're persecuting you is the greatest indication that
you're right.
And thirdly, understand that they're trying to come at you, no matter what side they come at you, it's been done before, and Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael would be lenatzeach, is going to win, it's going to be eternal, and that's the way it's going to be. Okay, and you could just see, like Rav Teichtal, I just think it's very interesting, in the context of trying to explain what it means that Torah is a Yerusha, he begins with this quote from the Rambam. It's a very powerful idea because obviously, clearly he himself is confronted with this exact question, which is, why are we going through this again? You know, and it's worthwhile, it seems clear to me that it was worthwhile for him to revisit this piece of the Rambam. Because, you know, in some ways, the person says, the more you hit me, the more I know that I'm doing the right thing. And, you know,
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Go ahead.
My kids came home from school on because it was like Yom HaShoah and we'll be on Thursday.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's Yom Gushgati, but okay, yeah.
It was also Yom Gushgati.
Yeah.
All these yoms, stuff we used to have in school. But they asked, what was worse? Like, because they're learning about in Parsha Shavua, it's Yat Mitzrayim or the Shoah? Shibud Mitzrayim or the Shoah?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh.
What is that, like a poll question?
No, that was like, it came up in class, like the third grade or the second grade.
Okay.
So, first of all, I was like, as you're reading this, I was wondering, like, how do we look at Shibud Mitzrayim? Is that like spiritual or like physical?
But it wasn't, it was physical.
Just physical? I mean, is that how we see it? I hadn't thought of it, I'm just... But so then the Mora said to the kids that the Shoah was worse than Yitziat Mitzrayim, was worse than Shiavud Mitzrayim.
Did we discuss this in Chamushim? Didn't we have this?
Darkness.
Right. So according to Rav Teichstal, according to the Midrash, obviously, he says that one fifth of the people survived, which means 80% died.
Right.
So if 3 million people survived, how many people died?
Lots.
Yeah. Times?
Four.
So which is worse? I mean... the answer is, which is worse? What would you like, somebody to cut off your hand or your foot? And the answer is...
Right, but that Hamushim bit, that was Hashem.
No, thank you.
That was Hashem killing them. That wasn't the Mitzrayim.
And that also was...
And that was at the end.
It was instantaneous. Right?
Always see...
Hamushim, that was like...
Let's not read the Midrash so literally. Meaning Rashi clearly understood the Midrash literally. I think we discussed it a little bit. I always read the Midrash much more metaphorically. How many Jews died in Makat Choshech? What is the plague of darkness?
I don't know. God struck down however didn't want to leave the throne. That's why I was
saying. It didn't make sense. Yeah, I get frustrated in this once.
Okay.
Pretty recently, I think. I mean, it doesn't really make sense. So God struck down the Mitzrayim and the Jews in Makkah Choshech, the Mitzrayim wouldn't know. Right? And where did he bury them? So all of a sudden the light comes on and the Egyptians like look around and they say,
Jews.
Hey, where all the Jews go? Oh, what Jews? You know, like what, they didn't know?
Gone, yeah.
Right. So to me, I always understood the Midrash in much more metaphorical sense. So the Midrash was making a much deeper comment about Jews and redemption.
They didn't make it.
They didn't make it. And what was the darkness?
Simulation.
Correct, the darkness of Egypt. They chose to stay. They chose not to make the choice. Mm. Which is deep, because what that means is every redemption is a choice. Even the redemption of Egypt was voluntary. Redemption of Babel, clearly voluntary. Third redemption... So far, pretty voluntary. Completely voluntary.
But in its end, it's not voluntary.
Says who?
God comes, and Mashiach comes,
whatever. Yeah. Mashiach comes, and...
And?
You get
and wait, one second, and... Right. I also read that story in the Best of Olamenu. Right. The fact that somebody wrote it in a children's magazine doesn't mean it's true.
That's a big machlokes. Right.
No. What does it mean? How did you get here?
Who knows?
How did you get here?
That's not
aviyat
hamakan.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't subscribe to the whole Rav Kook machlokes that if you come to Israel, then also Mashiach will show up. That's not the geula. Coming here on Elal and all that stuff. Is not
well, one time I didn't say that's a geula. I didn't say it's a geula.
That's not aviyat hamakan.
You're sure? You know that for a fact? I don't know, but you're saying you do know.
It's just not,
I mean, you're going to be disappointed if the houses and the shuls don't float in from Brooklyn?
And Mashiach and basically just sort of descend from Shemaim, yes.
I think you might be really in for a strong disappointment.
I don't know, like even the Rambam, even the Rambam.
He says the Beit HaMikdash is going to float down from the heavens. I think you're in for some disappointment. I really do. Am I not into miracles? Clearly I think there's going to be miracles. But, I mean, who knows? You're right. You could be right. I mean, but I believe that, I just look at history. Until now, all of history until now was redemption by natural means through divine influence. I mean, the Jewish people had to go out themselves. They had to enter into Eretz Yisrael. They had to conquer the... Excuse me.
Miraculous.
They had to conquer... Right, but Kibush Eretz? Completely?
Down.
Sorry. They blew the shofar. Anachanami, there was... But through Derech HaTeva. Completely.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying that like, all of a sudden people are going to like float. I'm not...
That's what you said.
No, I think the base image will come down for Shmuel. No.
That will float.
Yes.
Okay. why would it be worse for you if they built a really cool building?
It would.
wouldn't.
But what bothers me.
And the Shechina came down from Shemayim.
I'm sorry.
Wait, the first Beit Hamikdash.
I'm not a Tohar.
Was it from Shemayim? The first Beit Hamikdash came down from the heavens?
No. But
second one?
But this is different.
Because
that's two tablets.
What?
There's two tablets.
Correct. That was a one time deal. That's exactly the point. The revelation is a one time deal.
Yeah, but
100%.
I don't know. It's just what we're like. There's not. I'm not making.
I guess I don't need it. No, you're not making it up. I don't need it. I don't. You know.
Like, no, I'm saying there's a tefillah.
What?
Another revelation.
There can't be. There's only one Torah. Another revelation would mean something would have to change.
Could be repentance.
What's God gonna say? Remember all that stuff I said? That.
I said that.
Why?
Because not everybody believes, do they?
There's this very prevalent in the Dati Lumi community.
That
if we work hard enough and like we bring everyone to Israel, then Mashiach will show.
You know who says that?
Okay.
Yeah, he said it. He's going to say it many times. And one wonders, like clearly there is a shiluv, though. He believed, there's two things.
Correct.
We could bring it, we could force God's hand. And if we don't, then at some point God will be coerced. God will have to do something. It'll be so bad.
Time will be up. Time's up, sorry.
Right. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're really getting ahead of ourselves. Nonetheless, we see from all of this, this is it's a very long, how should we say it? So he's developing a very long idea, a long theme. And to bring you back, he talked about the idea of the connection of Torah being a Marasha and Eretz Yisrael being a Marasha and inheritance. We're still on the first part, which is, why is Torah a Marasha? Okay? I think we're going to skip, to be honest with you. I'm going to skip a piece. And he starts with the idea, we're going to go a little bit and then we're going to skip the parentheses because it's just really tangential. I don't want to get to his point eventually. Not this week, next week. With Igeret Teiman, and the Igeret Teiman, Nidrisa B'Prag Aydei Rabbi Yisrael Landa, I'm still continuing on page Memtet. Okay, the Igeret Teiman that was printed in Prague through Rabbi Yisrael Landa ben Rabbeinu Nodab Yehuda, the Nodab Yehuda was Rabbi Chezgel Alevi Landa. So his son, okay, Matzadi Haga Be'achad Begilyon, Me'od Yikarai Bifenenu. So he says, I found a copy of Igeret Teiman from Prague. Azibir Reina Banal. Okay, Vizel Shona, this is what he wrote. Amar Yisrael ben Ladoni Avi Agaonam for some reino Rabbi Cheskel Segel Landau Nero. Biroti Diber Nasher Agadol HaKatev. So he says, my father said, oh no, I'm sorry, but the son of the Rabbi Nodabuda said, when he saw what the Rabbi said, Amarti Lasot Tapucheza Bimishkinot Kesef. I'm going to make apples of gold and settings of silver. Masha Amar Ladoni Avi Azal Nero Bechibro Derosh Deresh Tzion. What he wrote, the following. Vizel Shona Bemsad Rasha. He says, "Be'emet ani tama, ech yishlot seichel anoshi sheyesh lo ketz v'chalush meod, lasig davar amok she'en lo ketz." Remember the comment about the non-Jews trying to convince us that God is not really God, using all kinds of proofs. He says, "I don't really understand what the Rambam is talking about." He says, "How in the world can a human being who is limited and weak of mind have the gall to think that he can understand something unlimited and infinite?" Meaning what? When they come and try to, what the Rambam says, they're going to attack you by force that I get. When they come and attack you by logic, what's the answer? The answer is, what's that? Right, who are you to think that you know better than God?
Rambam's like Mr. Philosophy, arguments, all sorts of stuff. Like, you have all people.
Yeah.
Same argument as those who say,
it's
written by man. It's four different orders.
Ah, that's what they said.
Wait
a second. It's so good. I was gonna skip it. His whole the parentheses. He goes off on this tangent about how mad he is at what he calls the. If you look on page Nun, the word with on 35, biblikritiker, which is the see that word biblikritiker in Yiddish. Biblical critics. Okay, it's easy to say. He goes off on those unbelievably, demented biblical critics who think they know better than the Chumash, who think they know better than God. So that's a tangent. You can read it on your own if you're really interested. He says, I try to answer the Rambam, blah, blah, blah. So, but the idea is, the fundamental core of his belief is, who are we to think that we can understand and comprehend God? It's the height of chutzpah, of hubris, to think that you, in your limited ability, have an ability to either perceive God or to know better than Him. Which is, that's very prevalent today. Right? People have all but rejected God, in a sense. people.
They figured it out.
Yeah, they figured it out. Right. I mean, it's just tremendous, tremendous hubris today that humankind has progressed and we're moved beyond this, and then we have all the answers, and human beings have whatever, and God is sort of out of the equation because it's like seen as primitive and silly to believe that God is greater than you and that he can think of something greater than you. Okay, so he says the following. Avraham Avinu Hisig Me'atzmo. See where I skipped to? I'm on Nun after the parentheses. If Abraham himself, do you see where it says it in English? I don't know where you can you find where you are.
About,
you got it? Oh, great. If Avraham Avinu himself comprehended God on his own, is it Haya Ezer Eloki? That was with divine help. He gave heart. He gave his, you know, tried to understand it. And God sort of like lit up his seichel, his intellect, above more than the norm, human norm. And it's enough for us that we can accept generation after generation that they saw with their own eyes, and they accepted the Torah mouth to mouth, meaning face to face, and they heard the first two commandments. David said, Da et Elokei Avicha, know the God of your father. He's here, Shiyadashu Elokei Aviv. He warned him to know that he's the God of his father. Bechenu me Aviv, Dor Achadar. Then the same thing from father to son, generation to generation. Ve'im be'emet zachu, kama v'kama la'amod al shashay emunah bida'atam. If there are some people, some unique people, that were able to understand or comprehend the basics of faith on their own, hinei tchilat hakol hu emunah. You know, you can underline that phrase. It all starts with faith. B'zeh ha'ikar. Ba'asher yidbuku ha'bore. Az bore olam b'chasdo b'rachamav. Patach lem tzinorei hashpa'a b'sichlam. Then God opens up in his compassion tzinorei hashpa'a b'sichlam. How does he translate it? The portals of hashpa'a, of influence in their intellect. Then they can comprehend above the human comprehension. And they saw visions of God. Some of them were prophets. Some of them were in Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. Some of them were wisdom. The great rabbis. Meaning he says, there's a lot to say about this, and I'm not really versed enough to really discuss it in depth. But he says, in Judaism, core idea number one from which everything flows is the notion of emunah. Do you believe that God exists and gave the Jewish people the Torah? Right? And from there, then once you have that faith can serve as a portal for you to then be able to comprehend, to come closer to God.
I think that's your answer from last week's issue as well.
Yes.
If you've got that basic emunah, then everything else can be built. If not, it all crumbles like a stack of cards.
Ah, that's what he says.
But he also says something very powerful. It's like in the Nevuah setting, like Avraham Avinu, like who we think of as like whatever.
He comprehended God on his own. He says not.
No, he said no. He said yes. There was an initial step by Avraham Avinu, but like open the door and I'll let you in. Like open, like just open the door a little bit.
Okay. Meaning, what's that?
Abraham had that in Muna before he was looking for God.
We built up all the way through, but now it's my track.
Okay.
We connected to this long
chain.
Yeah. And then we jump to where we are now. And to get that chain realized in your own mind, you have to have a Muna.
How do you? No, not really. How do you get the Muna? How do you get faith? This is what you were talking about before. I think it goes perfectly into what Aaron started with. How do you have that faith? Because it's passed down to you. It's transmitted to you.
Whoa,
not really. I don't know if
that's what he's saying. He said, Abraham said, okay, I don't know what's going on out there, but like, let me in a little bit. And then God says, okay, here, now, like, and then he pressed download and like, instantly, there's like, you know, 60 gigabytes of like emunah that are like inside of you because you were willing to like open up that attachment.
One second, but how does he say, how do you get that faith? He's saying, how do you get that faith? And it's exactly what he's saying.
I'm gonna give it to you.
Who gave it to you?
God.
No. Most people don't get it from God. Very few. He says Avraham Avinu is one, is unique.
Right.
You don't get it from God. Who do you get it from? You get it from your parents. That's right. You get that.
It's that statement of Rav Kamenetsky on the plane kind of line.
Exactly.
It's you're going back towards something higher.
Correct.
Not back to monkeys.
Correct. Correct.
This doesn't imply that to my understanding.
Really? Why?
It's saying, oh, I don't understand why it's a Muna or Bitachon.
Let's read on and see if it helps. Okay, let's read on. Aval, he says, but. Hasechel Enoshi Katsar Mehasig. Right? Human comprehension, it's too short. It's unable to comprehend. Va'kabbalah hi ha'ikarit bazeh. So what do you have to do? What's the Kabbalah?
Acceptance.
You have to accept. I mean, if you try to say, I will only accept God if I can understand it. It won't work. It won't work. If you say, I only accept those things that I can understand. Forget it.
That's based on starting from here. Mm-hmm. That's not. If you've come from any kind of Torah lineage, you've seen at least two generations, three generations, whatever. Why are you even having this discussion?
No. Yeah, but, wait. I don't understand what you're saying. Why are you having it?
No.
Because he says.
I'm missing something.
I don't understand what you're saying.
No.
This afternoon, Lord brought down all these old photos from beyond the Holocaust, whatever it is. She said, look at the lineages of my family and where they came from, and this one's from Lithuania and whatever else.
Amazing she had that.
And, well, my mom sends us all these stored photos.
Uh-huh.
If you have that connection, and you can see that they're just as connected, and then you can draw, as you I've seen numerous trees of life that go back.
And that's meaningful to you?
It shows a much more intrinsic connection to... If you can actually prove it, I don't think he's saying that
the pictures are meaningful. I think the question is, what values were transmitted to you? What values are you given?
I don't think you have to have that. That's really? Not fair.
That's what you said.
No, but it's not fair. You know why it's not fair? Because
what if you don't get it?
Right. Fundamentally. Like
and you're in trouble.
Fundamentally, whatever. My five generations were lost in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, it's not that. It's the fact. And this is again maybe a little bit more like Rabbi Yehuda Levi kind of stuff, but that Jewish people, the etzem that we were at Har Sinai, and that we are connected. Even if we're gerim, we believe that we're connected. If someone is a convert, they're connected to this whole chain of Jewish history. The moment you open that up. By being willing to accept, you tap into this like power of the generation,
okay.
and it zaps down to you.
I clearly agree that that is a mode of a string of thought in Jewish thought.
That's not this.
Let's go on.
I don't believe it is.
Aval, okay. We give blah 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 a second. Now Kabbalah, he like Kiripas, and you have to accept it. Every like you know weapon that's attached to me. V'chol lashon takum mitach v'nishpat tashi. Zod nachalat avdi Hashem. This is the inheritance nachalat of Hashem. V'zikatam itinu Hashem. V'aneshar gadol kotev Rambam. This great neshar gadol. You should just know the Rambam is called the neshar gadol, the great eagle. I'm not sure why. Amar pirish tchilat pasuk neged hakamim lilachem imadat. He explained. Right, this pasuk against those who the beginning of the pasuk against those who come to fight to influence us by force. Ksat v'cherev v'chanit k'mon Nebuchadnezzar shekim tzelem v'anas b'zorat Yisrael, like Nebuchadnezzar who came and tried to force the Jewish people to bow down. V'chein Haman, same to Haman. V'yosef zechama shemadim shenigzeru b'chama derot, many types of persecutions. V'ksat v'vikuach k'mo hafilosofi v'ayivanim, and some through argumentation like the philosophers and the Greeks. V'amnam kol eile kalu, they're all gone. V'anachnu dvekim b'Hashem elokinu b'torato mitzvotav, we who cling to God, mitzvotav, nish'anu kayamim b'emunatenu, we stay connected with our faith. V'amah ha-Rambam, shezeh kamalat ha-Navi, this is the intention of the prophet. Kol kli yutzar, eile shenilchamim b'ach, all of those who fight against you, la'siucha mehatorah b'kli yutzar shekli zayin, who try to remove you from the Torah with their weapons. They're not going to win. Why? Shakadosh Baruch Hu azarnu al kol al dvar kavod shemo kmo sha'asah lechanani Mishael veAzariah v'chavriyam. What did God do for Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah? He saved them miraculously. So even if they try to kill you with their weapons, you'll have salvation. V'chol lashon takum mitcha l'mishvat dehainu derech v'kuach. Whoever tries to argue with them, tarshii. Even with their different studies, they're not going to win. Ad kan divrei Nesher HaGadol. The Amaretin, I said, Sefa Dikra, the end of the Pasuk, Ba Litein Eitza, Ech Lo Yo'ilu. How is it that they're not going to win? Berov Chakirot Anot Mizuyafot. This is a critical point. How are they going to beat us if they have all these great proofs? Amar, he said, Zot Nachalat Avdi Hashem. This is my inheritance. Why? Ki emunatenu v'toratenu ha'amitit. Our faith and our Torah, lo mitzad ha'sechel kiblanum. We didn't accept the Torah through logic. If I accept the Torah because it makes sense to me, there's a big danger in that. Why? Because as soon as somebody comes along and says something that makes more sense to me,
that's it.
Ella, he says, nachala me'avotenu. It is a nachala. Hi emunatenu dor achador lemafreya ador matan Torah. It is our nachala. It is our inheritance, generation to generation. Shira'u marot elokim kulam yachad. Why do I believe? He says, I believe because it was passed down to me. It was passed down. That it would, God gave it to them. I believe. So you can't argue with me. There's nothing you can say that's going to convince me it's not true because I know it's true. Now that I know it's true, any argument you say, we can discuss it from here to tomorrow. It's still not going to win. Zot nachalat avdinu umashem. This is my inheritance.
But not because my father gave it to me.
If I don't have that, if it wasn't passed down to me, if I don't have it in there, meaning,
it could be disproved by some.
Right, if I don't have that passed down, you're saying, I know you're saying because God gave it and passed down, the idea was passed down.
I convert to Judaism, but the whole thing this whole doesn't apply. I convert to Judaism. I convert to Judaism. I got none of this is all, I might as well just throw the whole paper out the window.
It wasn't passed down to you per se, it was passed down to your avot, to your, like, you know, air quotes.
That's
Kabbalah. That's not what we're saying.
No.
That's not what we're literally saying.
We warned you, by the way. Excuse me. We warned you before you converted.
That what?
No, that someone's going to slam you.
That you're going to be out in the cold. No.
Yes.
No.
Why do you want to be one of us? Don't you know that they hate us?
No. But
understand that you accepted it.
You convert.
Yeah.
Assuming you convert and decide to be Jewish, then quarter.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Then you tap into the reservoir of goodness, I think.
I agree with you, but you're thinking on a... I'm not arguing with you, because...
He's saying, you can't disprove... You can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want.
The best argument.
That's right.
It doesn't matter, because we have Har Sinai, and it was there, and it's passed down for generations.
Correct.
Therefore, it's...
See, I know what you're saying. You're saying even if it wasn't physically, literally passed down to you...
My
nonetheless,
mother was an Apikoros.
Even though it wasn't literally passed down to you, nonetheless... Yeah. Nonetheless, still it was passed down to you. I agree with that. But what I would say, though, and I think Rav Tachar would agree, maybe he's not saying this, is the idea of the inheritance, of passing it down to our children, is unbelievably powerful. Meaning, we do really much more readily accept that which is given to us strongly. Meaning, let's assume the parents really believe it, and they strongly believe it. We're much more easily ready to accept it than if we have to come to it on our own. You know what I'm saying? So it's
you can brainwash your children, you should.
It's empirically true. You can, all right. What's brainwash? You say it sarcastically, but it's true. We all brainwash our children.
We all brainwash our children.
We try to inculcate them with a certain ideology.
Yeah.
Did God give us the Torah? I think so. So I want my child to believe that. And if I tell it to them at a very young age, they're going to believe it too. So when somebody comes along and asks them all these questions, they have that reservoir of faith from which they can say, and yet I believe. You ask great questions, but your questions aren't really an issue for me. And I must say, it's very interesting to me. There's a blog I read, and every so often, he'll try to bring proofs against biblical criticism. Apparently it's a big thing. I don't know, it's still a big thing in the world today. And like, I'm not even interested in reading it. It doesn't do anything for me. I think if I was interested in biblical criticism, I don't think anything you say could convince me that it wasn't true. I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, because it's a science, and if you believe in the science against the Torah, this is really what he was saying before, if you believe in science against the Torah, then you're not ready to accept the premise of what the Torah is all about. No matter how many proofs you give me, I'll always come up with a better argument.
And the proof isn't that 2 million people stood there. It's that 2 million people passed it on to their children,
correct,
and grandchildren and grandchildren. Which is why it's because they passed it on. Because 2 million people told another 2 million people told another 2 million.
So correct, correct.
And no one stood up and said, hey,
and no one stood up and said, hey, that didn't
happen. And that probably answers why so many of our colleagues don't have that, because they just don't have that
that passed on. It got interrupted.
Yeah. I think works if you
because that's why your faith is based. It's like say on a ridiculous comparison. If you when you learn about gravity, you don't really get it until someone shows you. You know, you get an apple. Well, you really haven't seen gravity. You've just
experienced
something, right? So we have to have this faith that he's talking about. He's getting something. He's have some proof. Mm-hmm. You might not have to be there, but you have something that you believe in. Told you.
I it's interesting. Faith is it's a fascinating thing because it's something that no one can force you to do, and you have to just have it. In a sense, you have to work at it and want it. Yeah. You have to, you know, that's what we call it, the leap of faith. You have to take it. You have to
check. But that's when the issue comes of we're the newer version of that same lineage.
What do you mean?
Christianity and our neighbors now they're the newest version of this.
I mean, they say there was a revelation, but okay.
You agree with everything you hold. But someone else came off because you got it wrong.
Except what happened? What about the thing where God said, if anybody comes afterwards and says that we changed my mind, that it's not true?
Then you enter this whole...
Wait, he didn't mean that part?
You enter this whole proof stuff.
Correct.
No, but the discovery people say, the Ashtar chap say, you know, they say, well, okay, where were your 2 million people that heard that it's new, that the change is on?
Yeah, all right.
You say that the change is on...
That's a different discussion. I understand, but that's a different discussion.
I'm not talking about... Philosophical.
We got to finish this paragraph because otherwise we'll have to start again next time. That would be bad. Okay, 1 second. V'amnam. Mashazachu mekumamem anshei Hashem. That which some people merited la'amod al zeh b'mofid mitzad ha'sechel. They understood it through either miracle or through their intellect. Zeh tzidkata miti. That's a tzedakah. That's a tzedakah mimeni. It's God's gift. Shemesayeya ha'balita her b'ruch hasav. If somebody comes to purify himself, then God helps him. That God gives influence above intellectual logic. That's what he said. He said, I don't understand how people can try to attack us from God, because if you have faith, you have faith. That's what comes out of all this is. If we had accepted the Torah from our own understanding, with our intellect and our knowledge, shechakarnu v'darashnu, we delved into it, we interpreted it. Ad sheit im sichleinu ima, as hiskamu lekabbalah. We said to God, you know what? That's exactly what the Midrashim said. What's in it? That makes sense. That makes sense. I understand that. That's perfect. We'll take it. He says, if that was true, azayah pitchon pe lebaldin lachlok v'lavo b'tanot lehefas sichleinu ulasiru tanam itanu chas Hashem. Then somebody could come and say, you know, we really should discuss this. But aval ka'ed shatorah eina kinyan urechush atzmeinu. The Torah is not ours that we acquired. This is the key line. Rakshi yirusha lanu me'abutenu shira'u et notena Torah ba'ayin mamash. It was passed down. It was an inheritance to us. B'shamu mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'aznehem, and they heard from God with their ears b'chush, physically. Kasher diber yam ki ishel reyehu. They heard God speaking to them, and they passed it down to us. That's the end, really, and we're going to finish next week and get on to the next idea. What does it mean? The power of the morasha is it prevents anyone from arguing with us. Why? Because it was inherited to us, our parents and their parents and our great-grandparents passed it down to us, inherited to us, in order to give us the well of faith, which would help us in times of challenge of faith. Whenever somebody comes with a challenge of faith, you say, oh, it's a really good question, very good argument, and yet.
Okay.
I don't care. And you have to be able to say that at some level, because if you're always looking to challenge your faith and understand and appreciate it, you're in big trouble. Because sooner or later, someone will come to you and say, doesn't make sense. What's the greatest question of all against our faith that we face today? Anybody want to take a guess? I mean, the one, at least, of recent memory, Holocaust. How could? And the answer is, you know, what I used to say to people is, whenever people ask me that question, and I get it every now and then, the answer is, I don't know.
Just human.
I don't know. Yeah. I have no... I have no ability and no hubris to say that I'm able to answer that question. And yet, so there are two types of people. The kind of people...
Well, can't answer that
who... What?
People say that, but you can't answer that better.
And then I'm out. Well, the kind of people who experienced it, they're in one...
Well, Rabbi Teichfeld tries to answer
it. Yeah, he himself. I think he himself is answering it. So the kind of people that are... And it's almost like he's answering it without saying it. So the kind of people that experienced it and say, I can't accept it. So I leave those people on the side and say, thank God, I don't no idea what you went through. But the kind of people who didn't go through it, like now, and are looking at it intellectually and saying, well, because of that, I don't believe in God, I find I have trouble with it. I mean, that's your intellectual challenge? That's, you know what I'm saying?
Like philosophy.
Yeah. It's a philosophical question. I could ask you a lot of other questions, and you wouldn't be able to understand them. And that's exactly the point. When you have that wellspring of faith, so thank God my parents passed down to me that wellspring of faith, that sense of emunah, and I think many of us have it. And because of that, or you give it and try to give it to your children, and because of that, when these questions come, they're questions. Nobody ever died from a question. And yet, sof kol sof, our emunah is there. And that's what he says, that's the Yerusha. It's a very powerful idea. A very powerful idea. It's empowering, and it's also demanding. In that, you better pass it on. Okay, we'll stop.